star. Never had the sky been lit up with that message like that night. You know, I was looking in the Bible this morning, and people don't realize with the birth of Christ what really happened and how it upset a total community. When those wise men came to that star, the whole town of Jerusalem and Herod became upset. I don't believe it was three or four wise men. I think it was a drove, a band that came through their town. And Herod got jealous. And this is an amazing thing. People don't know about this Bible story at Christmas. Herod was so upset, wanted to kill the man child. That night he killed every child there in Bethlehem, 2 years old and down. And there was such a weeping. Reminds me today of how that the devil loves to destroy Christmas. The devil would love to kill Christmas at your house because he seeks to take Christ out of your life. The Bible said that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph by dream. Said, take your wife and child down into Egypt. Stay there till I give you news. This is my thought on that this morning. I'm not going to preach on that, but it's hard to get up here with two thoughts going on in your heart. But I want to say today that the devil would love to steal your Christmas. The best thing you can do when that crowd is approaching you and trying to steal your Christmas is to take Christ with your family. Get in a solitary place and stay there with Christ. Don't let the devil steal your Christmas. He loves to steal our Christmas by people. He loves to steal our Christmas by policies. He loves to steal our Christmas by problems. Could you imagine the upset of Mary and Joseph as Herod came after Christ? But I'm glad they picked him up and carried him. I'm glad we've got a Christ that can take us wherever we need to go this morning. May I say, just get in an alone place with Him. Don't let the devil steal your Christmas. If you got a Bible with you today, turn with us in the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. I'd like to preach out of a thought, chapter number 1, and use one verse today in number 15. I won't be long at what I do. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. We love to stand and honor the reading of the Word of God as the people in the old Bible stood. When Ezra got on a pulpit of wood made for that preaching, they stood and honored the Word of God. So that is our custom here this morning, and I appreciate your attentiveness to the Word of God. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, one verse this morning. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You may be seated this morning. Our Father, we thank You for the goodness of God. We thank You for the Holy Ghost today that lives in our lives. God, realizing You are the great comforter, You're the peace giver. Lord, we thank You for that today. Thank You for our church, our people, how good You've been to us. God, thank You for the rain that You sent today. Lord, thank You for the life that You've given us one more time to gather in Your house around the preaching of the Word of God, to hear the old story sung again by song. Help us now as we preach to be a blessing to the people. If it be one here lost, I pray, oh God, you deal with their heart today. Help all of our preacher friends that are standing in the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. Now watch your Bible. Now, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus, here's our thought, came into the world to save sinners. And I want to preach on this simple topic today on what Christmas is all about. What Christmas is all about. Now, a lot of people, they've lost sight and focus of Christmas. To Christmas, it is a time of great family. We had family yesterday, and I'm thankful that I'm in the family. We're in the family of God, and I sure am glad that God put me in that family one day, there by the blood of Calvary, of where His Son died for me. I accepted that by faith, repented of my sins, and turned to Christ. God saved me. And I want to tell you, He saved me real good when He saved me. I'm glad He's never turned loose of me. I've turned loose of Him a lot of times, but the God of this Bible, Brother Jason's never turned loose of me. As Brother Lee had said this morning in prayer room, that shepherd is the wandering sheep strays. Many times that shepherd goes after the sheep. Sometimes has to break his leg, but he don't leave him laying. He puts him on his shoulder and brings him back to the fold. Aren't you glad you got a God that's interested in you this morning? And a lot of times Christmas is about family. It's about giving. It's about celebrating. But I want to remind you, if there was no Lord Jesus, there would be no Christmas today. And so I want to share with you these four thoughts out of this one verse this morning on what Christmas is about. First of all, Christmas is about a message. Look what the Bible said. He said, now this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I'm glad my Bible's still right in this day and this hour. And therefore we can realize it is a truthful message. He said it's a faithful saying. You know, a lot of times you got to wonder what people pin down, if they pinned it down right or not. But something you can take to the bank today, honey, this Bible is a truthful message. And it's going to stand when this world is a burning up. This is what people don't realize. I'm not preaching a sermon on it, because a lot of people would think that you've been so mean. But really, I'm not being mean when I say this. I seen a clip of Gatlinburg the other day. People leaving out in cars and everything they had was burning around them. I want to remind you today, this Bible said in the book of 1 Peter that God's going to set fire to this whole world one day. And oh, let me tell you, it's just not going to burn part of Gatlinburg. It's going to burn this whole country down. And oh, I sure am glad I'll be in home with Jesus in heaven. Don't have to worry about that. And so I want to say it's about a message. It's a truthful message. He said it's a faithful saying. Number two, it's a trusting message. Look what he pinned down. It's worthy of all acceptation. This is what it means in Bowden vernacular. If you accept anything that anybody has to say, then he says you better accept this passage right here, because it is worthy, look, of all acceptation. In other words, of everything that you've ever accepted to be so, you better accept this message right here, that God sent His Son. It's a truthful message, but I sure am glad, Brother Mike, it's a trusting message. I've trusted what this Bible said. Many times, the devil has took and he's showed me at the end of life, and he's brought everything up to my mind, but it's something I can always do. I can trust. You listen to me, Mom and Daddy's young people. You can trust what this Bible says. Because it's a truthful message, but it's a trusting message. I've trusted this Bible with my life. I've read a lot of series, a lot of manuals, a lot of how-to-dos. But there's nothing like this book that I hold in my hand this morning. And I hope by the new leadership in America that this book comes out in the forefront of what's going on in our country. We need this book back in our nation, back in our homes. And this is a sad thing. The devil stole it out of many churches. And I'm going to tell you today, Christmas is really about a message. It's a truthful message. It's a trusting message. But look right here, it's a tender message. He said it's faithful, saying, and worthy of all acceptation. You know what he told me? He said, Ken, of everything that you've ever accepted that's been written. You know, they gave me a birth certificate, March 17, 1961. I've still got it. I accepted that paper that it was a document that was right. But you know, I wasn't old enough to know about it. I could have been born March 18th and they got the papers wrong. I don't know. I know what my mama said. But he's telling you, this is a tender message of all things you've ever accepted. You better open up your heart and accept what he's telling you today. Because this thing about Christmas is about a message. Number two, not only is Christmas about a message, it's about a man. And his name, look in the passage, it's all here this morning, is Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at his name. Christ means anointed. The anointed one. There's been nobody like Christ. Moses couldn't take away your sin. John the Baptist, as a matter of fact, the Bible said there was nobody like him, could not take away your sin. The man that wrote this passage, inspired by the Spirit of God, Paul the Apostle that was saved on the Damascus Road, as good a man as this was, and this is what Paul said in his writing, be you therefore followers of me as I am also of Christ. Honey, he was walking pretty close to Jesus. But Paul could not save us from our sin. But I come to tell you this morning, there's one that was anointed. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is who God has predetermined to take away all of our sin this morning. There's no hope in a Baptist preacher. There's no hope in a Catholic priest. But honey, there's somebody this morning that washed away all your sin. Because he's the anointed and the Holy One sent from heaven, God's only Son. His name, Christ Jesus, the anointed one. Then his nature, he said Christ Jesus. Jesus was his earthly name, which you know what it means? Savior. There's been a lot of folks called Jesus and Jesus. But ain't nobody never been like this lowly Jesus of Nazareth, friend. Oh my, Christmas is about a man. His name, his nature. And it reminds me about our needs. Where would we have been without Jesus? God seen the need. He knew we were wicked. We were sinners. Nobody had to teach any one of us to sin today because it all came natural. Simon Peter, one of the greatest days in his life when he realized he was a sinner. He had told the Lord, he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. He said, you're going to do better than that. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice. What are you saying this morning? I'm saying, Christmas is about a man. And we see his name and his nature and his need. We needed Christ. Today, if you don't have Christ, that's the biggest need of your life. Brother Mike in the prayer room this morning. Matter of fact, y'all miss a lot in the prayer room. You need to get in that prayer room. He'd seen one of the leaderships of Washington say that now all of their hope was gone. I'm glad my hope is not in an election. I'm glad my hope is not in a person. Honey, let me tell you, God has blessed us, and this old world could come get everything we got. But it's one thing they can't get this morning. That's the hope in you, the hope of glory. I'm glad hope lives in me today, honey. I'm not a banking on a baptismal pool. I ain't a banking on church membership. But I'm a banking on one blessed day that the Holy Ghost come and smote my heart, convicted me of my sin. I turned my faith and started toward Christ. And honey, I'm enjoying my journey now. Somebody said, I wouldn't be a Christian because it's so boring. Oh, you ought to be down at my house. Amen. You ought to go where I go. I'm telling you, I love being a Christian. I know my name's written down yonder in glory land. The Holy Spirit of God lives in me. I got a Bible that's still writing and talks to me. I'm saying if you don't have Jesus today, you're missing the biggest need that you've ever had in your life. I thought I had a lot of friends till the weed is gone. I thought I had a lot of friends as long as my boat was full of gas. But oh, when I got saved, Brother Mike, then God put me in His family and I found friends that's concerned about not what I got or what I can do for them, but they just love me because we're in the family of God. You see what Christmas is really about? It's simply about a message. It's a truthful message. It's a trusting message, but it's a tender message. It's about a message. It's about a man. But watch this. It's about a mission. This is amazing what he said right here. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus, here's the thought, came into the world. Now, it's about a mission. Look at His pre-existence. He came. You know why? Because He is somewhere else before He got here. Now, His pre-existence. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm telling you, honey, Jesus didn't just start to exist in Bethlehem. But in 1 John, look what the Bible says, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1. You're talking about something that is good. We see this mission. He was pre-existent. John 1, 1. Watch this, young'uns. This may not be in your history book next week. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And watch this. And the Word was God. There's Christ as the Word. He was with God in the beginning. He's always been. You know something that just absolutely takes my mind off of a cliff? A lot of y'all hearing me preach, you think I run off a cliff a lot. But I won't tell you this. You, as much as you know, I'll give you a thought. You get all the way to everything you know and you get to thinking about where'd God come from? He's always been. And I'll give you a better hope than that. Not only has He always has been, He always will be. And there was Christ as the Word with God the Father. Before anything happened, look what your Bible says. Now, in the beginning does not imply a start, but a state. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. Watch it, verse 3. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that comes in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, talking about Jesus coming to Israel, and His own received Him not. Watch this, verse 12, underline it. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh when He was born in a lowly stable. You see that? And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh, so it's about a mission, His pre-existence. He came. Number two, not only about His pre-existence, but there was a pre-engagement. Acts 2, 22, watch your Bible here. Acts 2 and 22. Not only His pre-existence, but His pre-engagement. The Father and the Son, they had Him a meeting. In Acts 2 and verse number 22, look what the Bible says. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Can I tell you, when Jesus came and was birthed in a lowly stable, that was not by accident. When Jesus walked through this world for some 32, 33 odd years, that was no circumstance. When He got on Calvary's cross and died and shed His blood for you, that was just no circumstance. It was a plan. God had it planned that He would send His Son to die for our sin. This thing is about a mission. Aren't you glad that God is mission-minded? You know, I've noticed this. Those that are mission-minded, God sure does like. You say, why, preacher? Because God was a mission-minded God. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you better realize this. If God wasn't interested in you, you'd have never had the chance to be saved. Because God is a mission-minded God. He sent His Son. Because He cares about me and you. I want to say in this mission, there's a pre-existence. There was a pre-engagement. There was a great council took place in heaven by the Father and the Son. And I believe with all of my heart, Jesus said, I'll go. I'll do that. Could you imagine the day that Jesus was born in that lowly stable, how quiet heaven got? He left heaven and come to a lowly place. Can you imagine what the angels thought? Can you imagine how silent in heaven it got when that little babe left that place and came to a lowly stable? I heard a song in the motel this week. A man just wrote a song. I never thought about it, Brother Mike. He got to singing about a lowly stable. What better place could there be for a little lamb? John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. And there the Lamb of God, the Son of God, came and was born. I believe heaven was silent that night. Could you imagine when Jesus got home? When He ascended to go back to the Father, can you imagine the jubilation of what went on in heaven when He got home? Can you imagine what's going to happen when He returns to this old world? In 1 Thessalonians 4, what jubilation when He gathers up His church and we walk back up in the balances of heaven and realize what He's done for us. I hear some folks say, well, I'm going to ask Jesus about all these questions. Honey, you won't have no questions. What's Christmas about, Pastor? I am so glad God saved me. I'm so glad that I know what Christmas is about this morning. I'm so glad that God saved me, called me to preach, and has allowed me to be a pastor. Brother Ken, what's Christmas about? It's about a message. And it's worthy of all acceptation. It's about a man. It's about a mission. And this is something that our church has grasped the truth that a lot of places never do get a hold of. About this mission, His pre-existence. His pre-engagement. But in Colossians chapter number 1, there is His preeminence. Jesus is to be the focus of every church service we have. It's not about a man in a red hat and a white beard on a stage. It's about Christ. He must have the preeminence. Look what the Bible says. Colossians 1, verse number 15. While I'm turning, I want to insert this thought. What a day to accept Christ to be saved. Colossians 1:15. Who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and watch for Him. He's before all things. And by Him all things consist. And here's our thought verse. He's the head of the body of the church, who's the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Every message we preach in this church ought to be Christ-focused. Every song we sing in this church ought to be Christ-focused. That He would have the preeminence. And let me tell you what, when Christ has the preeminence, you won't care about where you sat or who stole your parking spot. What Christmas is really about. It's about a message. It's about a man. It's about a mission. But lastly, it's about a ministry. Look what He did back in that text verse. Let me share if you'd come. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world, look, to save sinners. I don't know why church people get upset when people come to their church that don't look like them, don't dress like them, and don't even act like them. I don't know why they get to think they're such a highfalutin crowd that they've arrived. I preach and try to help some men along, and it's amazing to me the crazy stuff they have to deal with just by people saying something about somebody different coming to their church that's a sinner. Well, can I remind you that was His focus, was sinners? There was a lady come to church one Sunday and she called me out at the back. She found out I was going to some prisons to preach. I'll never forget the look she gave me, Brother Jason, like, you mean you're really going to go? That's what she said, preach to them kind of people. Did you know on that same visit, I asked a young man where he lived. You know what he told me? Well, he said, I'm from Fruithurst, Alabama. I said, really?
I said, son, where you go to church? He told me, did you know I just preached a revival there about 6 months ago when I met that young man? Isn't it a small world? There's somebody's kid in Fruithurst, Alabama, right across this line, had got caught. And the only reason many of us are not there today, we didn't get caught. It's about a ministry. And this is an amazing thing right here. You get this if you don't get anything else about this whole sermon today. This amazing thing. He came. Think about what he had. He left it all. And he came. And the reason he came was the greatest need I'd ever had in my life. To save me. He'd save you this morning. Matter of fact, not only does he save souls, he saves friendships. Saves relationships. Saves jobs. Saves families. He's a Savior. He came to say, what a ministry. It'd be like me and you having everything we'd ever needed or ever wanted was at our disposal. Stepped out, was born in a little lowly stable where there was no room for him in an inn. No room for him. Ain't a lot of room for him today. He was born of a virgin woman, had never known man. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. He came. You see that in your Bible? Don't forget that if you get anything in your Bible, you get that. He came to save sinners. What you need this morning? Because you see, Christmas is about a message. It's about a man. It's about a mission. It's about a ministry. To save sin. Could a country preacher just ask you something before we go home today? You have been saved by the grace of God. What I mean by that, have you ever trusted Christ to be your Savior? You could do that this morning if you really wanted to have Christmas. Brother Dana preached a great message here last Sunday. That prodigal never had Merry Christmas out yonder, but oh, when he got home, Brother Lee. Don't let the devil steal your Christmas. Whatever you need around the building, Miss Sherry plays today. I open these altars. I don't know what you need for your life, but if you need something, I'd come. I'd bring it to Christ. You may be here today lost and undone without Him. I'd come running to Him by faith. Say, God, realize that You came. And I want to thank You for that today. I'll pray with you. If you'd like to step out by faith this morning and trust Christ, He'd do an eternal work for you in your heart if you'd trust Him by faith today.